I want us to return back tonight to Daniel chapter 9. We're not going to stand and read a verse because I don't really have a focal verse for tonight. I just want to cover several verses that I believe will be a benefit to us as we think about the need, the continuing need that all of us have for repentance. I want to tell you that if there's any prayer that God will hear every time, it is the humble and earnest prayer of a repenting heart. You never have to worry about God rejecting a prayer of repentance when we pray it from our hearts. God knew, listen, God knew that we would need prayer. And so he gave us prayer. And God knew that we would need a way back to him. And so he gave us this thing called repentance. And when you think about prayer, and when you think about repentance, it is something that we need to use on a regular basis. Now you say, well, Brother Anthony, I'm not as big a sinner as you are. And that might be true. But I tell you something else that's true. It's true that all of us on a consistent basis miss the standard of God. We fall short even when we do our best. And so we need repentance. We need to understand what it is. And then we need to place extreme value on it because it is a tool that God has given to us to help bring us back into right fellowship, not relationship, but fellowship with him. Relationship is built on the blood. I got a relationship with God because I've been washed in the blood. But my fellowship sometimes gets off center. My fellowship sometimes suffers because of my own sin and my own rebellion. And because God loves us, because God wants to be with us, but God cannot stand sin. God said, I'm going to give you something that you're going to need in days to come. I'm going to give you this thing called repentance. The Apostle Paul tells us that it's out of the goodness of God that he leads us to repentance. And so tonight I want to focus again on this prayer of Daniel. I want to give you 6 points tonight, and then we'll go home. Miss Maddie asked me before she left home, she says, this is going to be a short message. I said, yeah, Miss Maddie, this is going to be a short message. But there are 6 things that I want you to see. Listen, 6 things that I want you to see from this first part of chapter 9. Remember I told you this morning that this chapter can be divided into 2 portions. The first portion is a prayer that Daniel prays, and the second portion is how God responds to Daniel's prayer. 6 things that I want us to see tonight. In fact, there are 6 components of a prayer, a true prayer of repentance. Now, before I give them to you, let me confess something to you. In the 33 years that I've been saved, there have been times when what I have offered to God and called it repentance really wasn't repentance. You see, repentance is sorrow plus a change of action because you sinned. That's what real repentance is. Repentance is not just sorry. It's not that you feel remorse, but you feel remorse, you experience remorse and regret with the desire and the commitment to turn away from that to a better thing. That's what repentance is. It's a change. It's sorrowful, and then it's a change of direction. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of how you did things. There have been times when, in these 35 years, that what I have offered to God and called it repentance, it really wasn't repentance at all. It was sorrowful, but it was sorry that I got caught rather than sorry that I did what I did. It was sorrow, but it was sorrow for the consequences rather than sorrowful for the act that I committed. God is always trying to bring us up to a higher level when it comes to repentance, because it's something that all of us need. Every single one of us. Six things tonight I want you to see. I want us to learn six components of this prayer. The first thing I want you to see about this prayer, I want you to see Daniel's serious approach in this prayer. Verse number two tells us, verse number three tells us, you can read verse one and two, but verse three tells us, he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel was serious about making things right with God. He's determined. Listen, he's determined. He's committed to it. He said, "I set my face." Listen, when he said, "I set my face," what Daniel is saying, "I made a decision. I am determined to make this thing right with God. I don't want to carry this guilt anymore. I don't want to carry this load on my shoulders anymore." He said, "I know we have sinned. I know we have transgressed." He said, "Listen, I set my face," and then watch what he said. "Listen, I didn't just pray. I didn't just seek God." But watch, listen. In verse 3, he said, "I did it with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." This is a man who is serious about making things right with God. Fasting means to do without things that we enjoy, maybe a food or activity that we enjoy. It means to afflict ourselves. Daniel said, "Listen, I'm so serious about making this right with God. I'm so serious about getting this sin area cleaned up in my life." He said, "I'm not going to eat and I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to have any fun until I make connection again with God." Lord, listen to me. My prayer for Anthony Bledsoe and for this church that I love with all my heart, my prayer is that God would teach us how to be serious when we fall in sin against him in our approach. Sometimes we do what we know God told us not to do. Sometimes we don't do what we know God has commanded us to do. And when the Holy Spirit brings it up, when he speaks to us about it, when he try to bring conviction about it, listen, here's how we approach it. "Well, I'm sorry, and I'll try to do better." Amen. Daniel understood that it was their sin that had brought them to this bad, terrible place where they were. And he knew that serious sin required serious repentance. And he says, "I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. Listen, that food that I enjoy so much, he said, listen, I'm going to put that on the back burner because the first order of business is to get my heart right with God. He did it with sackcloth. Listen, I'm sorry. He did it with fasting. But listen, also, he did it with sackcloth and ashes. In the Bible, sackcloth and ashes always symbolizes deep mourning and sorrow. He didn't just put it on, listen to me, he didn't put it on in the private, he put it on in the public. Because listen, he wanted everybody around him to know that he knew that they had messed up before God and that he was deeply, humbly sorry for what the sin that they had committed. He was serious about it. He was serious about it. He was serious. Listen, he was serious about his repentance. And I look back over my life, and I can tell you that there have been some times when I wasn't as serious about repentance and confession as I should have been. That's the first thing I want you to see. Dang it, I set my face unto the Lord God. You know what he said? He said, I took my focus off everything else. Nothing else mattered. I blocked out everything else. I set my face because I know I had sinned against God and I knew that I couldn't go on any further until I made it right with God. He said, I set my face to seek the Lord. I didn't care what nobody else did. I didn't care what nobody else thought about it. Listen, my heart was to make things right with God. I set my face. He's serious in his approach. But here's the second thing. If you're taking notes, write this down. He was honest in his confession. He was honest in his confession. I want you, and I tried to point it out this morning, but I want you to go back with me to verse 5 because I want you to see what he says here. He said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from your precepts and from your judgment. Listen to me. Daniel was honest in his confession. He didn't say, Lord, we made some mistakes. He didn't say, Lord, we dropped the ball. He didn't say, Lord, we didn't do the best we could. He said, Lord, we have sinned against you. We have acted wickedly against you. We have dealt with you treacherously. Listen, if you really want to get God's attention in repenting prayer, call it what it is. There have been times, solid rock in my life, in these 33 years that I've been a Christian, and I know I'm saved, but there have been times when God caught me with my hand in the cookie jar, doing what I ought not be doing. Listen, and rather than calling it what it was, it's a sin. It's an act of rebellion. Listen, it is idolatry. It's filth. It's nasty. Rather than calling it what it is, I said, well, Lord, you know I made a mistake yesterday. Let me tell you something. When you and I don't call it what it is, we are trying to shortchange what we're offering God. We're not agreeing with God because God calls it sin. God don't call it a mistake. God calls it sin. And I want to tell you something, listen to me. The problem in our nation, because this is a national prayer. This is a prayer that Daniel is praying for the nation of Israel. This is a prayer that all of us need to pray for the church, because the church is a nation. Believe it or not, we are a spiritual nation. We need to pray for the church. But listen, one of the problems in America is that we have tried to rename sin. And that, listen, that philosophy that was once out there is creeping in here. He was honest in his confession. He was honest when he went to God, he was serious and he was honest. He called it what it was. You know, and I think it's probably the heart of every pastor, because every pastor wants to see his members come to church. Even if we don't have no visitors, you want to see your members come to church. And to be honest and tell you the truth, listen to me. It's just, you have to call it what it is. For some people who are members of Solid Rock Church, they're not missing church. They're in a backsliding condition. They're in a backsliding condition. For some of us, listen to me. For some of us, we'll never get better until we call it what God calls it. See, the devil understands something. The devil understands if he can get you to rename it, it won't be long before you try to redefine it. And in redefining it, you won't see it as what it really is. He was honest in his confession. And one of the things the Lord is trying to teach us, and I know he's trying to teach me, be honest with me. Be honest with me. Just be honest. Because see, listen to me. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And what God is saying, you can't walk with me, you calling it one thing and I'm calling it something else. They're making sense. Number one, I want you to see his serious approach. But secondly, I want you to see his honest confession. But here's the third thing I want you to see that is really, really important. I want you to see that he acknowledges the serious consequences of their sin. This morning, I told you that we need to confess the sin, and Daniel did that. He confessed it. He said, listen, we didn't listen to the prophets. We didn't obey your word. That's the sin. But listen, sin brings a consequence. Sin brings an aftermath. Now, Daniel acknowledged the serious consequences, the serious fallout from the sin that they had committed. There are three of them. I want to home in on one of them, and I'll give you the other two. But the one I want to home in on is found in verse 11 through verse 13. Now look with me real quick. In verse 11, he said, yea, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, departing from his word, departing from his word. And listen to me, you can't stay with God and not stay connected to his word. Even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore, now underline this, therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him, and he have confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven have not been done as have been done upon Jerusalem. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet may we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Now here's one of the consequences that come upon them because they wouldn't hearken to the word of God. They became slaves to Babylon. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want you to turn there because I want you to see it. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28 had warned them hundreds of years earlier as to what would happen if they turned away from the word of God. Look in Deuteronomy 28. Look at verse 1. I want to read one verse. You can read the rest of it when you get home because it's really good. I'm telling you, it is really good. But look in verse 1, and then we'll move to another verse. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And for the next 10 or 12 verses, he's laying out blessings that flow to us when we are willing to obey the Lord. Oh, man, it's good. It's, listen, he said, all these things shall overtake you if you shall hearken unto me. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. And he just go on talking about the good blessings that come to us when we obey the Lord. But look with me in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all the commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Then he names all of the bad things that happen when we don't have a heart to obey God. Look with me in verse 32. Because here's what Daniel brings up in his prayer. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people. And your eyes shall look on and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in your hand. The fruit of the land and all your labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of your eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord, now look, catch this. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot unto the top of your head. The Lord shall bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy father have known. And there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. He acknowledges the serious consequences of their sins. You say, Brother Anthony, why is that important? Why does Daniel even bother to do that? Because Daniel wanted God to know that he knew that he was being disciplined for the sins that they had committed. One of the things, maybe you can understand this a little better. When we were growing up and when Mama got ready to whip us, sometimes it like she stayed ready. But the one thing that Mama wanted you to know while she was whipping you is that you were getting a whipping. Come on. Listen, Mama wanted you to know when she was whipping you that you was getting the whipping. She wanted you to understand that she wasn't playing with you. That at that moment, though she loved you, she wasn't happy with you. She wanted you to know that, listen, you were getting a whipping. And what God wants us to acknowledge when he's disciplining us, when he's chastening us, listen, he's not punishing us. When he's chastening us, God wants us to acknowledge, God, I know that you're dealing with something in my life. He wants us to acknowledge that. Dang acknowledges the consequences. He said, Lord, I know that where we are right now is the result of what we did in Jerusalem. The consequences of it. He acknowledges it. Here's two other things that, and go back to Daniel real quick. But two other things that he acknowledges. In verse 16, he acknowledges that they have become a reproach to all the other nations round about them. In other words, listen, the other nations who had heard them talk about their God, who had heard them brag and boast, and there's nothing wrong with that, or how God had brought them out of Egypt, and how God had parted the Red Sea, and how God had fed them in the wilderness, and how God had settled them in the promised land. They had heard them talk these things, and now they're in Babylon, and the other nations who had heard them talk about what God had done for them in the past is laughing at them now, because it don't seem like God is no longer on their side. Can I tell you something? That right here in America, because the church has lived like the unsaved, because we no longer have the power that we ought to have to do what we ought to be doing, the world laughs at us when we invite them to church. They were a reproach. Listen, this word reproach means a byword. It means to be scorned and laughed at. I thought y'all were men and women of God. Where's all that power that y'all talked about when you come across the Red Sea on dry ground? I thought you said you were Abraham's seed and that God had set you free. You're not free now? The world, listen to me, the world laughs at us because we lose our power and our authority because we won't repent of our sin. We act in old kind of way. And we think we still supposed to have favor with God. He acknowledges that they have become a scorn amongst the other nations. And then the other thing that he acknowledges, listen, in verse 7 and 8, he acknowledged the fact that we are full of shame and guilt. Verse 7, he said, Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but unto us, confusion of face. Another way of saying it, Ms. Kathy, is that we're ashamed to even show our faces. I can't speak for nobody else, but in my 35 years of being a Christian, I ain't always been what I ought to be, and I ain't nothing like what I need to be now. But there have been times in my life when I've messed up so bad that I didn't even want to show my face in the community. I was so ashamed. He said, we got confusion of the face. We're full of guilt. Here's the fourth thing. Here's the fourth component to this prayer of repentance. Verse 16. He asked God to forgive him. Verse 16 read, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Verse 17, he says, Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear, and open your eyes and behold our desolation, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousness, but for your mercy. And then verse 19, here it is. He said, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. Forgive. One of the components of a repentant prayer is that you need to humbly ask God for his forgiveness. David said, all of my sin was against you. Uriah and Bathsheba felt the effects of it, but the crime was against you. And he asked God for his forgiveness, but then look at verse 18 with me again, because I want you to see that he asked based upon God's mercy. You see, a good component of repentant prayer is that you don't want justice. You want mercy. You want mercy. Listen, he says in verse 18, Oh my God, incline your ear and hear and open your eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousness. In other words, Lord, we know we don't deserve this. There's nothing in us. There's nothing about us that merits us receiving what we're asking for you from you. So we're not asking you because we're righteous people. We know we're rotten people. We know we're guilty of sin. We know, Lord, that we have missed the mark. We have broken your heart because we have broken your laws and your commandments. And we don't ask based on our goodness and our righteousness. But we lean. We cast ourselves upon your mercy. David would remind us that God is a merciful God. David would remind us that God loves to forgive. You don't have to beg him to forgive. You don't have to try to entice him to forgive. Listen, it's just part of his nature. God loves to forgive. And that's why I told you, listen, this prayer of repentance, when it's prayed from the heart, when it's real, when it comes from a broken and a contrite heart, God will hear it every time. And I'm glad about that because I have to use this thing often. He asked based upon the mercy of God. And then here's my final point tonight before I go to the closing. He asked, listen, he asked based upon a good reason. Now he asked for forgiveness, Bobby. And he asked based upon God's mercy. But then Daniel took it one little step further. He asked based upon God's commitment to the glory of his own name. Look at verse 19. He says it a couple of times. But in verse 19, he said, "O Lord, hear, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Hearken and do. Defer not, not just for us. Not just for the church. Now, we need him to do it. But not just for us. But do it for your own sake. For this city is called by your name, and this people is called by your name." Listen, here's what Daniel is laying before the Lord. He's laying before the Lord. Lord, listen, however you deal with us, it's going to reflect upon you. Boy, that's good praying there. Because if God is committed to anything, God is committed to the glory of his own name. He said, "I know you're merciful. I know you're a good God. I know you love to forgive sin. But now, if that ain't enough, if that's not enough reason for you to do it, then do it because we're your people." You remember what Moses told God when they were in the wilderness, and God pulled Moses off to the side. He said, "I'm tired of these folks." He said, "I'm tired of them." He said, "Listen, and I'm going to destroy every one of them, and I'm going to make from you a great nation. I'm going to use you and Zipporah, and I'm going to raise up a nation from you." Moses said, "God, you can't kill all these folks out here." So come on now. He said, you can't do that. He said, "Listen, what will the Egyptians say?" He said, "If you kill all these folks out here, the other nations around us is going to say he was able to bring them out of Egypt, but he wasn't able to bring them into the promised land. And it's going to reflect upon your reputation." Let me tell you something. Sometimes God deliver us. Sometimes God get us out of our messes. Sometimes God turn things around and we think it's because of us, but it's because of him. It's for his own glory. And he, well, thank you, Lord. Listen, he does it so that the next sinner in line will look at what he did with sinners like us, and he'll say, if he can do it for them, he can do it for me. Amen. For his own glorious name. Last little thing here. Why pray a prayer like this? Why pray a prayer of repentance? Two reasons. Number one, because God commands it. Write this verse down, Leviticus chapter 26. We won't turn there. Leviticus 26, verse 40 through 42. God commands it. God said, "Listen, this is what I require when you miss the mark." But here's the second reason. You pray a prayer like this because this is the first step to being ready for better days. It's the first step for being prepared, for being ready for better days. Why is it important for us as a church to repent? Why is it important for you and me as individuals to repent? Because it's the first step toward everything else that God wants to do in your life while you're here. Seventy years had passed. Brother John, theologian, believed that they were on the tail end of those 70 years when Daniel figured out through Jeremiah that God had determined 70 years of desolation in Jerusalem before he started to bring them back. And Daniel praised his prayer, and he praised it because he wants the people to be in position. He wants them to be ready to experience what God was about to do in their lives. And I want us to pray this prayer for ourselves, for our church, for our nation, for our children, Because I want us to be ready for what God wants to do next with us. I thought about this prayer. And it's important to us because, listen, not only does it affect us in the here and now, but it will affect generations to come. Generations to come. What you do tonight in your personal private time with the Lord could actually affect your great, 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 great grandchildren. Let's stand. We're not going to play music tonight, Ms. Tammy. So. I really feel like that America and the church that's in America is at a defining moment in our lives. And I feel like, I just honestly feel like, Bobby, that God is saying it's a possibility that the nation won't turn around.